are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
We gotta get this out of the way first. New Star Wars trailer for The Last Jedi.
Lots of mystery.
Man, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, it is.
I'm excited. Okay, favorite scene from the trailer, because we can't talk about it all day. We got leftovers to talk about.
I don't know. You're gonna have to start that.
I really liked the this little fighter ships that come in and they're kicking up dust or something and it's all red. And then off in the distance, you see AT-ATs.
Yeah.
Really reminiscent of kind of Hoth, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Thought that was cool. And of course, I think I'm in agreement. The Jedi, their time, it's up. Let's do something different.
No. No.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm baiting you.
No.
Jedi 2.0? Is that what you want?
Well, here's an interesting point. Maybe we've said this before in the show. My son made the point. The Last Jedi, Jedi is both a singular and plural word. Yeah. So the last group of Jedi, how many are there?
That's true.
We don't know. We know there's Luke.
There is Luke.
And
I think it's obvious from the trailer. He's training Rey. He's training her. So all talk aside about Jedis or no Jedis, he's still training Rey.
There's something broke on the internet that his first words to her are, "Who are you?"
I heard that too. I'm not sure how substantiated that is, but
yeah. Which would,
I think it would fit within.
If that's true, then he's certainly not the one that dropped her off on that planet.
Right, but also Yoda did that to Luke when he showed up on Dagobah.
But he didn't know Luke.
But I think Yoda would have known who Luke is through the Force and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
You would think he would have an idea. Plus, maybe. He's probably been in communication with Obi-Wan, who's
Obi-Wan really didn't know who he was at first, did he?
If you're looking at the full canon, he does.
Okay. Yeah. Well, don't we have to look at the full
canon? We do have to look at the full canon.
You know what else we got to look at?
Oh, yeah.
Jedi mind tricks. And This Week in Geek, in which we'll get into...
The Leftovers.
The Leftovers,
the season premiere. The episode. We spoil a lot.
This is your spoiler alert. So here we go. We're going to get into it. It's Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Made a promise
that
we often break. You know, we're really good at breaking the promises. We made a promise that we would talk more about the word eschaton and why is it a deficit in our Lutheran?
Yeah, because you were arguing we should be talking about it more
in the Christian church.
Yeah.
So, what does the word eschaton mean?
Well, we talked about it last season on God Geeks, when we were talking about Westworld, actually, there was a character with the last name Eschaton.
Right? Yep.
If I remember correctly, is it unveiling, revealing?
That's Apocalypse.
That's okay. Eschaton is.
Yeah. Apocalypse.
I'm getting mixed up then.
Apocalypse means uncovering or revealing. That's why the final book of the Bible is the Apocalypse of John or the Apocalypse.
Right, okay.
So the revelation.
So that's why I'm probably confused, because eschatology is about culmination of things, end times, right, or history.
They're in the same
ballpark.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Eschaton actually literally means last things.
Last things.
But when we say eschaton, what we're talking about is the consummation of the age, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's the end of death and suffering and evil on earth because of the return of Christ and him making all things new, which is not some strange multi-thousand years timeline of different nations developing and certain
you're talking
UN people.
Pre-millennial kind of dispensationalism.
I mean, in other words, the eschaton, according to the ancient church and according to an accurate understanding of the Bible, is at any moment Christ could return. And that's what the early church believed. That there was no world event that needed to take place that would bring it about. It was something that they were looking for constantly. And in fact,
hope for.
Exactly. Beautiful word.
Yeah.
Because in actuality, that is the Christian hope.
Yeah.
Because, let's talk about it for a second, because this actually, I'm glad you said that, because this is where the rubber hits the road. It's where I don't want anything to do with Christianity without the eschaton, honestly. If God is not going to restore his creation and end
the suffering,
darkness and evil, then and if we humans are not going to find our true, fully human purpose here on earth, then we're just like every other, it's just like every other religion. It's escape here and
we
go somewhere
get off
else.
This
yeah,
earth
we got to get out of here.
Heaven or whatever paradise.
We
got
to pass from here to a better place because this place is a goner.
Yeah.
And
my
and,
body too for that.
And Christianity, the Christian doesn't live that way. As if this none of this matters. See, he lives or she lives in such a way that they are looking for the restoration of all things and believes that God is breaking into the now with the restoration of all things. And so here's what drives me crazy, and this is at the heart of it. Without the eschaton and without coming back to it and talking about it and without the hope that we have in the restoration of all things, it's just moralism.
Yeah,
and that is so depressing, and I hear so much language.
Have you been to a funeral lately? I've been to some funerals lately.
I have been to a funeral.
And to me, I've just been thinking about it a lot lately. Every funeral I seem to go to is devoid of hope.
The resurrection.
The resurrection.
Yeah,
it's very much about okay, now he's in heaven. Journey's over.
That's right. Resting with
bodies,
with the
bodies
Lord,
gone. That's not your grandfather
the
right
end.
There.
Yeah,
that's,
you'll see him again in heaven.
Yeah.
They don't say you might see him at any moment in the resurrection.
Yeah.
See? It's always, when you die, you'll get to see him again soon. And I'm not saying I haven't made the same
mental and theological. I've said it to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mental and theological mistake of thinking that the goal is heaven.
Right.
It's not the goal. It's not the hope of the Christian life. Not to say anything against a blissful, restful interim state in heaven with the King.
Right.
But as there's a great article by Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs called "Regaining the Biblical Hope" or something like that.
Yeah.
You can Google it, Dr. Jeff Gibbs.
Well, we can put a link in the.
Yeah, it's fascinating read, but essentially, the Bible doesn't talk a whole heck of a lot at all about the interim state of heaven. We've made a lot of things up, and we've developed a lot of things.
Speculation that could be right.
We've speculated a lot of things, but here's what we've done: we've taken the passages that are actually about the resurrection, and we read them as if they're about heaven.
Yeah, we stopped just short.
Yeah.
And skip the next verse that totally talks about.
So most of the time when the New Testament is talking about the heavens and the earth and this kind of thing, you know, or the resurrection, I mean, there's not a whole lot of language about heaven or what heaven is like other than they call it sleep.
Yeah.
So like a restful period, and there's only one really account of people in heaven saying anything or doing anything, and what they're doing is They're when are you going to restore all things? Jesus, yeah. When? How long? How long?
Come on.
How long, much longer should we go? So the idea that heaven is the goal is completely backwards.
Yeah.
It robs us of our hope because what it becomes is now I've just got to get out of here. My hope is to get out of here.
Go sit on a rooftop and wait for it to happen.
Yeah. And then what happens? So then what is my Christian life like? It becomes about pleasing, like running on a treadmill and pleasing God,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas when...
Finishing the race.
Right.
And taking that out of context.
Yeah, taking that out of context.
Yeah.
So instead of God restoring everything and not waiting until the final moment or the final day, but he's breaking in now, doing his eschatological characteristic reality, yeah. Crashing in the kingdom of heaven through you and to you and despite you, this whole changes from moralism to now a freedom in Christ to love my neighbor because love is my future reality and it's who I already am in him. And so really removing the eschaton from our mindset, from our preaching, from our teaching, from our reading of the text, completely twists Christianity into something that it's not.
It makes it more individualistic.
Of course, which is what we're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're looking for individualism.
I want me to get to heaven.
And what can I do? You know, but
it's so much bigger than
just
that.
Think about the myriad of issues that Christians cannot say are not important, like stewardship of creation.
Right.
Right? Like generosity, like love, like all the realities of the eschaton, right?
Of how things will be.
A perfect creation,
yeah.
a perfect loving relationship with one another. So this reminder of who we already are in our future resurrection life shows us what we're called to be now. And so we cannot deny the good works or the environment or the, you know, generosity to neighbor. None of those things, we're not capable of saying those are not, it's okay to not do those.
No.
Because all we got to do is look at the resurrection life that we're told we already have in Christ. And we say, well, that's who we already are. And so all the sins that I'm running towards, I need to stop running towards because it's not who I am.
Yeah.
And who I am is all these other things. And so it's not moralism. It's actually future reality invading now, which to me is a completely different faith. It's a completely different religion altogether.
It sounds crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy, but here's what I would say.
Best
kind. We have our own version of crazy as Christians.
Yeah.
But other religions where you escape to some floaty place where you have a thousand virgins on your own planet or whatever, you know, that's like, you know, to actually say it's not so crazy to think that God created this place and that God will work to restore this place and that this
it
is where we're supposed to be.
It makes the most sense given creation itself.
It's the most realistic thing because what you're saying is the most real thing is the now.
Yeah.
The most real thing is that our bodies and our lives and everything that we're doing matters.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not a fantasy mindset. It's actually a very practical,
realistic
now mindset of going, all of this matters and God cares about me and God cares about all these people. God cares about all these animals. God cares about, you know, not being war. You know, God is going to restore that that to our reality. So it's actually everything, right? It's why Jesus himself never shut up about the kingdom. It's kingdom. When he's talking about the parables, he's talking about the kingdom. When he's talking about, you know, when he's doing healing, he's talking about it's the kingdom. When he's raising the dead,
I reread Parable of the Talents today.
Yeah,
with that lens.
Well, tell me what you...
He returns at the end. He returns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And makes things right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is... What is that?
It's the kingdom.
The king and the kingdom.
King and kingdom.
So the king comes, He talks about the kingdom. When the king enters into your life, he brings his kingdom to you. So yeah. so he's delivered his kingdom to you, right? Yeah. And he will fully deliver his kingdom to you in right. the eschaton.
Already and not yet.
Yeah. And so this whole thing, it's so basic Christianity, which is so irritating that it's left out.
I get a little worked up sometimes. I think I said this before. I used to get so angry at Adam and Eve for just screwing up Garden of Eden. Like, I never get to have that. No, actually.
Right.
Totally did.
Yeah, and you would have screwed it up probably worse than they did.
Totally.
And I would have too. Not condemning you. Like, but then, you us know, being human, right?
Yeah, I also get a little perturbed. Why haven't I been hearing this for the past decade? You know? Where has this been? Because it is hopeful, comforting, knowing the full redemption.
It's actually helps you understand so much more about the Old Testament too. And the idea that Israel...
I read Isaiah totally different.
Yeah, well, Israel was looking for a...
Promised land.
A promised land, right? A promised king and a promised land. Like the promised seed, Messiah, and him delivering them to a place flowing with milk and honey, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is not somewhere in the Middle East. It's that all... The kingdom of David, Solomon... That temporary restoration of Israel to a kingdom was just a foretaste the shadow of the future reality in Christ. So just as they were looking for a king, who is their king? When will he bring the kingdom? We know who the king is.
Yeah.
And we know when he will bring the kingdom, actually, any moment.
Yep.
Like a thief in the night. Yep. That's what he says. And that's why...
We don't need pigeons bringing us a message telling us when.
Okay, and so the leftovers is the leftovers is what we'll talk about in This Week in Geek, which is right now.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Time for us to talk about the only leftovers I'll actually consume. The show Leftovers. I don't like leftovers.
You like the show leftovers.
I like the show
you
leftovers.
You don't like food that's been cooked and then the next day.
I'm not a big fan.
I would say this. I used to not.
Unless it's Indian food. I'll do that.
Well, here's the thing. There are certain things. There are certain foods.
Better with time.
There are certain foods that are incredible. Heated up, like lasagna is one thing.
You know what? Yeah, lasagna
like
holds up pretty
lasagna,
well.
Lasagna, which what's crazy, if like really good lasagna, you don't even have to heat it up. If you just eat it cold, it's good, dude. A little coffee in the morning and some lasagna. The other thing that's really good.
Leftovers, it's back.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm excited. I like the start to this season.
Well, it's...
So, listeners, beware. We might spoil some things towards the end of this conversation.
You like the start... Of this season, or you like the start of this episode? Let's talk about talk about the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, let's talk.
So, the beginning of season two. Let's go back to season one. The beginning of season one began with a modern woman whose baby disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the departure that we're sort of figuring out what in the world is going on here.
It seems to be no rhyme or reason to who's departed.
Right.
Right.
So season two begins in caveman era.
Yeah, in Texas.
In Texas, and a woman, I can't remember exactly, but it's a cave woman who's... She's lost her child.
She's just given birth.
She's given birth.
And she's sick, and she's trying to survive. And she dies while trying to take care of her child, but the child lives.
Okay, okay.
And other cave people find that child.
Right.
Right.
And this is in this spring of water. This is the pond that's in Jordan, Texas.
Yeah.
And then it fast forwards
however many years later, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 years later. And we're in Jordan, Texas, which is the one town in the whole world where no one disappeared or departed.
Well, and so...
That's season two.
It just made me think of something.
Yeah, what's that?
Kevin, tries to kill himself.
Yes.
In that same water, and it drains out.
Yeah, so he doesn't spits him out.
So he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Sort of like the child that the lady.
Sure. Yeah.
That I the lady that. So I wonder. There's a little bit of like, is he some sort of, is he that child?
Cave lady?
I mean, is there some sort of incarnation? Like, you know, maybe he's.
I know. We got to get a copy of this Book of Kevin so we can read it.
So the third season starts the Book of Kevin, the Gospel of Kevin.
1840s Australia.
1840s Australia, which is where. His dad is not in 1840s Australia, but his dad has gone to Australia.
Yeah, his dad went
to
Australia.
Going to be Australia stuff.
Yeah, we know we're heading to Australia. They've kind of leaked that
and
already.
So this is the scene, 1840s Australia, and there's
a family.
Some sort of a preacher
that is receiving messages
from a dove. Pigeons.
Like, pigeons or doves?
Pigeons or doves.
I'm guessing doves with the whole spirit.
Courier pigeons?
Courier pigeons, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think it's courier.
They've got messages.
I think
they're
it's pigeons
messages.
At the end.
It's definitely pigeons at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Same pigeons probably as the beginning because they're carrying a message.
Right.
Did you catch that?
Well, yeah. We don't know what the message says, but the guy gets the pigeon
back in 1840s, the guy's getting the message from the pigeon. It must have a date or something he's calculating. And he puts a date on the board, and they all think it's the rapture.
Right. They think it's
something.
Rapture. They may think it's a rapture, but rapture is not really a...
Well, it's not a real show either.
Okay. You've got me back into Jedi mind tricks. It's a
departing.
When I hear the word rapture, it's like a kick in the pants. All right. So they're thinking they can... They
need to escape this
date, and so they get up on the roof of their houses, and then the whole thing. There's not any dialogue. It's
this song.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's like.
It is a song, I think, from the 60s or 70s, remade by a group today. The song is
very creepy sounding.
You know that Jesus Freak song back in the day? Same group that wrote that one wrote that creepy song they use in this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but then they had a modern group redo it, and it's really weird listening to that song, and it's 1840s Australia, and this family falling apart over a cult, basically. The cult telling them what to do.
Thinking that they have they're waiting to be taken away.
Taken away from this evil earth.
Not restored.
Not restored, no.
They're going to be taken away, so they're like in their white robes on their roof or whatever, and... It sort of ends in she's in a white robe and her family's basically left her, disowned her.
Yep, she's one of the last ones.
She's the last one. She walks into the church and lays down on the ground next to five or six other people in white robes.
And I can't tell if they've committed suicide or if they're sleeping in there now. It's hard to tell.
I think it's some form of... I think it's simply supposed to state that the guilty remnant was
like
around
this.
Back then.
Oh, okay. You're taking the literal transition they have of the camera panning of the 1840s group.
I'm taking that into the guilty remnant.
The guilty remnant are a modern version of that.
I think so. I think it's the same. I think it's literal interpretation.
Well,
here's what I'd say. I think it's the show saying to us. Don't be surprised if the guilty remnant plays a role in some sort of...
In the next scene, we see the guilty remnant blown to smithereens.
They're blown to smithereens.
Yeah.
They've been basically taking apocalyptic actions. They're a cult. They've become this sort of cult that's trying to bring about either justice or the end of the world or
something,
or they don't know. They may think, but what's interesting is there's a bomb supposedly launched by the ATF the ATF has bombs, but they do in the leftovers, but they blow up the guilty remnant there. But it's interesting because it's just kind of three years later.
Then we jump 3 years later.
And there's no real resolution of, do we know what happened? There's no bodies.
Yeah. There's a story floating around that it was a gas leak, and that's the official story.
But there's no...
Yeah, there's no...
But what happened to him?
Yeah,
we don't
really
know. What will be interesting to see is if we see them again
maybe
in
Australia.
Maybe
that dad is right. Maybe...
Well, so there. Think about this. The guilty remnant, Patty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
She died. Then she didn't die.
Yeah, she was still
then
showing up.
Then she was in a dimensional reality with Kevin somehow.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if it wouldn't surprise me if the guilty remnant, and we might even see that lady from 1840s Australia again with
the redhead
somewhere.
I feel like
Australia
she'll
be
back somehow.
Yeah, I feel.
Well, I don't want to give away too much. I mean, watch this episode before going any further listening to us.
Oh, we've already
we gave away a lot, right? Yeah. But even the ending reveal, at first I thought it might be that lady.
We'll have to tell. We've pretty much ruined the.
Yeah, we're gonna have to tell them in the opening.
Oh yeah, so that's the big thing that this show really threw me a big curveball at the end of that episode, because I can't remember her name. She doesn't call her by the same name.
No, she's going by Sarah or something.
What's her?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I got to relearn all the characters' names now.
Yeah, well,
I know Kevin. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. So
Kevin's new wife.
Yeah. They were going to adopt a baby. We don't really know.
The baby's not there now.
We don't know about
the baby.
Well, they haven't explained that.
No,
so something's happened within the last 3 years.
See.
But here's the crazy thing. Is that jumping forward in time into where she is, or is it a dimensional? Like, my thing is, this show...
You love your dimensions.
Well, this...
make sense in a lot of
ways. This show is all about dimensions, because when he dies, he goes into a hotel that's in
another dimension.
And,
so
much of what they're doing is dimensional, I think.
Yeah.
And I think...
The Departed are in another dimension.
Yeah.
That could be.
I think what's...
That would make sense. And what if... Ooh...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're about to say.
Yeah.
I think the 2% of the world population that departed is still here, and they're wondering where the 98% of the world is. You know what I mean? So we might start seeing them. And what's interesting is this lady who just Kevin, maybe the pigeons are flying back and forth
between the dimensions.
Between the dimensions. Because remember that bird kept getting buried and come back to life.
And maybe the eschaton in this is
the merging of the dimensions
okay. Coming back and restoring.
Or maybe it's not a restoration thing at all, but
completely rip apart an
evolution.
Yeah. Oh,
where dimensions are beginning to crash into each other, and so it's forming a new. Yeah.
Like, this reminds me of that show movie you were talking about on Netflix with where they find out there is an afterlife or something. What was that show?
Oh, yeah. I can't think of it. It's a Robert.
Discovery or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I think dimensions are the new zombies, you know?
They're the most fascinating part of science fiction or of science.
Yeah.
Of theoretical physics, string theory, all that stuff. If we don't start seeing more, well, we're seeing a ton of sci-fi stuff, but if we don't start seeing more dimension stuff, I'm like you, I'd be really surprised. Where this is not necessarily, what if The Leftovers is not a time-based time travel thing, but a dimension-based thing?
I could see that. Or both.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you probably couldn't do one without the other, I guess.
Yeah, probably not.
But that's starting to hurt my brain.
I'm just waiting for the aliens to show up now. Oh well.
In
Leftovers.
I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't either.
But at the same time, I don't think that's likely.
I don't think it's
really I don't think it's likely.
I can't wait to see where we end up though with this season. Because it is a 3-season show. They already know it. They've got it planned out. It's not going to leave us hanging
this episode itself was dripping with Christian innuendo, theology, and probably none of it good,
dabbling in it, you know.
But using it to whatever suits their story. But it is fascinating. It is fascinating to the whole storyline of some of these Christians who are leftovers that know Kevin. They know he's come back from the dead. They're reading all that stuff in. And I found it fascinating. It made me think about this interesting aspect, because Kevin finds out that Pastor Matt, well, here's what's interesting. Matt is the name of the pastor.
John
is the name of the guy that's from Jarden. So we have we have two sort of
and then Kevin.
Yeah, that's what I was like. What's his name again? Yeah.
Well, there's another. ABC has a show coming out soon called The Gospel of Kevin.
Oh, interesting.
Which is kind of coincidental, actually.
But, that's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a dimensional thing.
Maybe.
But they are writing a gospel about Kevin. They're at least documenting the things that are happening around him, and he gets really angry when he finds out.
Yeah,
which is fascinating to think about how someone could actually be a focal point for faith and testimony, and them not even know it or
want it
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah,
I would bet good money that St. Paul, the Apostle Paul, would be infuriated to know how much he's talked
named
about.
After him.
Well, to know how much he's talked about.
Yeah.
Because that was not in his nature was to give glory to Christ, but he's, like you say, so many things are named after
He wouldn't like
St. Paul, but we talk about him obviously because he's a major part of the writing of the New Testament, but. He didn't know he was writing the New Testament.
No, he was writing letters.
He was writing letters, you know? So it's fascinating. And so that was a neat twist, I thought, to the story.
Yeah.
That there's now some people that actually are starting to look at him like, well, I guess he's dying every day now.
He's trying to kill. He can't die. And maybe he can journey to the other dimension through some type of death, or maybe he gets clarity being in between, kind of, you know.
I wonder.
It's a routine, though. You can tell it's a routine with him.
So here's what's interesting. Since he went to the hotel and came back, because he's come back from the hotel twice. So he's come back from death twice that we know of.
Yeah.
Where he spent time in the other dimension.
Yeah.
I wonder if,
when he talks about it, it's reality. When he talks about shooting, killing people in that dimension, he talks about it like it's real.
Yeah.
Not like it's some weird heaven afterlife.
No. He gets shot, but he doesn't die. And I'm wondering if he's starting to think that he can't die and go back to the place again. And so
he wants to go back to the place.
Yeah. So I wonder if the circumstances matter on how he dies.
Maybe.
Like where he dies.
He's got to be killed by someone. No? Because he's... Anyways, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
This season on Leftovers.
So they're going to unpack it. What a great show.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
Okay.
We'll see you next time on God Geeks.
Star Wars, of course. God Geeks.